Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Okay. Hold on just a minute. No, we called the airbase and we said, please do not fly your planes over our church, but they didn't listen. So, hey, anyway, let's not waste any more time. Well, that wasn't wasted time. We needed to take care of that. We've got a special guest today, and everybody knows him, I think, because this is Jack Watson. He's been with us before, and we got to talking about a program, and we said, well, at the time I asked him, we were thinking about doing an interview type of thing like Doug and I have done. So that's what we're going to do this morning. He'll talk, I'll talk, we'll both talk at the same time probably. And I think you'll get something really helpful out of it. That's the whole idea of doing a Bible lesson, is to give you something you can take home with you and make a difference in your life. So let me set it up this way. The title of it, and Jack's the one that gave me the title, so he's all ready for this. He's more ready than I am. But the title of this is Fear Not. Is there anybody that's fearful out there at this time? A lot of people, including us. Everybody's fearful of something, apprehensive, worried, cares, things like that, troubles. We all have those troubles that come our way and things that are on our mind and things that we're afraid of. Let me just say this in introduction here. I remember when I was 3 years old, when I was three, there was a window right by my bed and I thought a bear was going to appear in that window and try to get me. Now, how likely is that? But see, I couldn't think. All I could think of, I was afraid there was a bear. We didn't have a television, so I didn't see it on television. Now, what, you know what my dad should have explained to me, son, there hasn't been a spotting of a bear within 500 miles of here. There's no bears. It's not going to happen. Do not be afraid. No monsters out there. So I don't know if he ever had that talk with me, but I remember being afraid. So that shows us, Jack, there are rational fears and there's irrational fears. Mm-hmm. So how do we separate that out in our lives?
Well, number one, can you hear me with the mask? Okay, I sound much better singing with the mask on, and it's supposed to prevent more.
And you're better looking.
Much better looking, so I think I'll just leave the mask on, if y'all can hear me fine. Can you hear me? Not very well. Okay, let me try it like this. Brace yourself.
Okay, we're braced.
Okay, is that better?
Much better.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think that any germs are going to reach that far anyway. The reason the Lord has laid this on my heart, this was actually going to be a message I was going to bring y'all right before we quit meeting in person. And, you know, fear is one of Satan's real weapons or calling cards all the way back to the garden. He wants to sow doubt, fear, and unbelief, because he said, did God really say that? Can you really trust him? Are you sure that every tree is good and just not this one? So that's been his weapon since we've known good old Satan, you know? And especially now, that's one of his tactics, one of his weapons. I like to call him the God of the what if. He's constantly bringing what ifs. And that's where we get to the rational and irrational, or fears that it's good that God has built into us a sense of self-preservation.
Healthy fear. There's a healthy fear.
Well, when there's a rattlesnake right there, and if you have a health, if you have a fear of it, that's a healthy fear, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how he is always constantly saying, what if this growth is cancer? What if my money runs out before the month? What if my Social Security is not enough? What if my mother gets sick? What if the kids come down with the COVID? How are we going to balance all that? What if? What if this happens? What if we have a bombing run right here? But I think we all know what I'm talking about.
Right?
What if? What if? What if? He's the God of the what if. Whereas our God is the God of why not? Why not? Why can't we step out in faith, preach the gospel, see results?
Yeah. Okay, so in the Bible, I counted them up last night. Mm-hmm. 300 times in the Bible, it says, fear not. Now, wouldn't once or twice be enough? Why did God have to say it 300 times?
Well, I guess because we're slow.
Because people are very fearful.
Right.
Even people of God that believe in God and trust in God, they can still revert back to their fears and operate by their fears rather than by their faith.
Which is the real basis. What we want to get to is becoming people of faith rather than people of fear. Why nots rather than what ifs. And I have my Bible open to Isaiah 43, which the bedrock to me, what we base our faith on, is our relationship to Him. He says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine."
Wow.
You are mine. And further on in Isaiah 49, he's saying that, a mother may forget her nursing baby. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, they may forget, but I will not forget you. I have even inscribed your name upon the palms of my hand. We are secure in His great love that He has for us. And one of the illustrations that really spoke to me, was imagining the disciples in the boat during the storm. They were out on the sea, and I can just see this in my mind, because the scriptures tell us that Jesus was constantly rising before day, going to prayer. And He says sometimes the people would come and they wouldn't even have time to eat. And just the demands on His time. So he finally gets in the boat. And I can imagine Him. I mean, He was a human being. Sometimes we forget He's 100% man. He was a man. And He probably didn't sleep that much. So I imagine Him, boy, just crashing in that boat. So those storms on Galilee would come up pretty unexpectedly. So here comes a storm, man. And there's three accounts in the Gospels, and one of them says they were in danger. The water was actually coming in the boat. And the disciples, "Jesus, don't you care? We're dying here. We're drowning. We're going to drown. Look, wake up. Help." And He just looks at them. Oh, boy. The point that Jesus wanted them to understand, because He got up and said, why are you guys afraid? Where is your faith? Peace. Be still. And that was just the physical reality of what was already true in the spirit. Here's the important thing. You are mine. If Jesus is in your boat, I don't care what the waves look like. I don't care how dark the sky is. I don't care what is happening in your physical circumstances. If Jesus is in your boat, you're not sinking.
Let me throw in something here, too, Jack, on that. Just made me think of it. Mm-hmm. Also, when He asked them, "Where is your faith?" what that meant to me was He expected them to handle it.
Absolutely, yeah.
What? I mean, there's the Son of God. But he expected them to handle it because they could exercise their faith just like Jesus would exercise his faith. And that's astounding. And also don't say, oh, well, that was the disciples. That was the apostles. They had all this faith. No, they didn't. He had to ask them, where's your faith? I expected you to handle this. So in our lives, Jesus is coming to us when we're fearful, and he's saying, where's your faith? You can handle this. Stand on the word of God. Trust me.
And before they got on the boat, he says, we're going to the other side. If Jesus tells you we're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. And you don't have to worry about the wind being in your face or whatever's going on. You are going.
Yes.
So he expects us to understand with our relationship with him that we don't have to fear. And I'm turning to Isaiah 41 now. There's three fear nots here in about 10
verses. We've got that
verses.
Scripture up here, I think.
Yeah, but there's more than that.
Yeah,
I'm going to just briefly read the couple of statements here in three verses. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. That one. And in 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I'll help you. And then 14, my favorite. Fear not, you worm. Fear not, you worm.
Excuse me?
Fear not. He says, I have you in my hand. I'll hold you by your hand. We honor God when we express faith and refuse fear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So every one of us knows the scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that comforting? That's very comforting in church on Sunday morning. But what about when we're in the midst of trouble and chaos and we're not sure how things are going to turn out? It's true then too. And it's time right then to say, stop everything. Stop these crazy thoughts. I can't change the circumstances, but I've got to remind myself, God is my God, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will bring me out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm just that kind of guy? No. For thou art with me. So remind yourself of that when you're in trouble, when you're tempted to be fearful. Treat it as a temptation.
And I had that very experience. Oh, it had to be about 25 years ago now. But
you were just a kid.
Yes, and I was still trying to get out of hospital work. I finally made it now, but 25 years ago, still trying to get out of the hospital, and I was working for my brother-in-law, doing air conditioning work. I was sealing these ducts, and the owners of the house we were in Taiwan, working for back then General Dynamics, and they weren't charging me rent, so I was going to take that time where I wouldn't have to pay rent, save the money for down payment. Well, the business just hadn't worked, and so I'm sitting there house by myself, and the God of the what if, man, he's coming. What if you don't make enough money? You don't have a place to go. You don't have a down payment. You don't have a deposit for an apartment. I had just had my fifth child. What are you going to do with these kids? What if you can't get another job? What if? And it was just overwhelming. And I was scheduled in a couple of days to go to an Amber Rose conference, a real powerful worship and word conference. I thought, wait, this must be spiritual. This is spiritual. And I just started repeating out loud. I'm in there by myself. Most people that know I'm crazy anyway, so it wouldn't matter. But I'm in there by myself, and I'm saying out loud, I refuse fear. I embrace faith. It's out loud. It's, I refuse fear. I embrace faith. And I would say that. And started to feel better. And just continually, I am refusing fear. I'm embracing faith. You are always with me. All these scriptures we've read. I got home, and my wife said, you know what? This older couple we know just decided we needed $500. They just said, we feel impressed. You need $500. Here's $500. They just brought us $500. And I was just recovering from that when the phone rings. It's the owner of the house in Taiwan. And I said, oh, Arlen, man, it just hasn't worked. I don't have the money for the down payment. Even though I'm not paying rent, I wasn't able to save the money, you know. He says, oh, don't worry about that. Just take the house. And so for, I think, administrative cost was $20. And we just took up payments for the house.
So God
had it for over 20 years.
God had an answer. And you didn't consider that initially, but that's the way it worked out. And you did exercise your faith. You said, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I believe you.
But it was an act of my will. It's something I had to do out loud. I could feel the oppression of the enemy.
Mm.
That this was this fear was not the rational fear that we're talking about. This was an oppressive, irrational fear. And we were talking about maybe sharing some ideas about rational, irrational. Your beloved pastor has been flying with me. So one of the things we talk about is takeoffs are optional. Landings are mandatory. So you take every possible precaution before you start that engine, knowing that the plane is in good shape, it's fueled, everything is right, the weather's right, everything's right, because once you break ground, landing is mandatory. So we're not talking about not being cautious. We take all the caution we can. There are two different kinds of flight rules. According to the FAA, there's visual flight rules. There's one set of like that when you're not in the clouds, you can see. There's another one called instrument flight rules, VFR, IFR. But me and Doug, always CFR, chicken flight rules.
Yeah.
We are not taking any risks. So God has placed in us a caution. We should exercise caution.
Yeah. So there... Go ahead.
Well, but there is a fear, like I was talking about, there were some rational basis. I didn't get that $500 yet. I hadn't had that phone call. It was totally by faith. There was some reason to be fearful, but I was just refusing that, knowing that God had us in His hand. Yeah. He'd always taken care of us, that He had never failed. And David's words, I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread.
Well, there you go. You know, we talked about an irrational fear. There's not irrational faith. Faith is the most rational thing, response that you could give in a troubling situation. It's rational to believe God. Why? Because He promised He would take care of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's rational. And God has proved it over and over again throughout history, throughout the Bible, and many times in your own life. So that's the time to be rational. It's not irrational faith. It's not a leap of faith. It's not a leap in the dark. Yeah. It's a leap into the arms of God and the Word of God and trust Him. And He'll come through.
So let's get back in the boat again. This time, it's after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And it says, King James says, constrained them to get in the boat. Other verses, He made them get in the boat. But anyway, He had to make them get in that boat. Okay, y'all go on the other side. Go. And so here they go. There's that storm coming up again. The wind's right in their face. And they're rowing. You know, they're just trying. The wind is up, man. The waves are up. And it's dark. It's the fourth watch of the night. It's pitch black. If there's a storm, the clouds. And all of a sudden, the lightning comes up and they see something out there. It lightens again. It's closer. It's a ghost. Huh? It's a ghost. And Jesus says, come on, guys. Don't be afraid. It's me.
Be of good cheer. It is I.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Well, you left out the be of good cheer. I had to throw that in.
No, it's just, it's me.
Yeah.
You idiots. He called him idiots, too, but he did.
Yeah, that's not in there, Jack.
No, but he did say that.
That's the implication.
Yes.
Okay, but now, I don't know if you can answer this question or not, right. But I just thought of it.
What?
Why was Jesus out there walking on the water?
It says in one of the scriptures he would have walked right past them. He's going to get to the other side.
Y'all ever wonder that? No? Now you do.
Yeah.
What's he doing out there?
So Peter says, hey, if it's you, Jesus, if that's you, command me to come out to you. And he's that one word. Jesus created the world with one word of his power. And he said, come. And there was enough power in that word, come, to sustain Peter. And can you imagine the boats like this? If you get out in that weather, you're going straight to the bottom. You're going to die.
But what I expected him to do was to say, no, Peter, look, I'm the Son of God. I can do this. You stay in the boat, Peter. You can't do this. That's not what he said.
He said, come.
And what did Peter do?
He came.
He started walking?
He got on that
you
water.
Know, we always say, you know, Peter, look at his lack of faith. You know, he couldn't. Jesus said come, but he couldn't do it. No, he was walking on the water. The others did not get out there. Peter got out there. He started walking. But then what happened after he started walking?
He looked at that wind. It says the wind and the waves were up. He saw that.
And what happened?
He started to sing.
Oh. Could that happen to us when we get our eyes on the wind and the waves?
Yeah.
Yeah. The storm, the troubles of life. So the lesson is, keep your eyes on Jesus. He said, come on out here, Peter. So if he says come, you come. If you feel like you're out there on your own, remember God's word. He will take care of you. He will save you.
And God does call us into dangerous situations sometimes. But, you know, if you are in the dead center of God's will, you're as safe as your home in bed. I was right in the... It was pretty close to the peak of all the murders in Juarez. There was a missionary out there that I wanted to see. And people asked me, is it safe to go? I said, oh, no, it is not safe. It's not safe. But I had a very specific dream. You know how y'all have dreams and you can tell it was the onions? But some dreams, you know, are spiritual. This was a spiritual dream. It was from God. And very specifically in that dream, do not take your car. For whatever reason, I'm glad I never found out. I was not supposed to take the car. I was supposed to go on the bus. Never had a moment's trouble, not a moment's. The only time I was anxious, I guess, was speaking in the drug rehab. And that's where they usually go in and kill everybody. But at least this wasn't right downtown Juarez. It was a little bit further out. But I never had a moment's anxious moment the whole time. Felt perfectly safe the whole time. Felt I was in with the hand of God the whole bit. But it was not safe. But God had said, come. The power of that word, come. And when God speaks to you, in his mercy, his grace, his power, you can go and be perfectly assured of your safety.
Yeah. Well, that's a good lesson. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, and we kind of got revved up and said that'll be really helpful. So we hope that you got something good out of that lesson today, because we live in dangerous times today, and we should always be cautious. We're not being uncautious, trying to prove to God how much faith. Faith is a very quiet time sometimes. What?
Chicken flat rules.
Chicken flat. So we should have chicken kind of faith. So, no, yeah, a chicken might be afraid, but a chicken can believe God.
There you go.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah, and it will keep you safe and keep you out of trouble. And we're sometimes make the declaration, God, I'm going over, not under. I'm going over. And because you are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me, and goodness and mercy are going to follow me. They're right behind me. They're right there. I can't see them, but the Bible says they're there. So anyway, God bless y'all for tuning in today. And glad that you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And we're going to do this again next week, and maybe we'll actually eat something. Do you have a question, Paula?
May I make a statement?
Yes.
Yeah.
In regard to that last point there, this was back about the 1st of April when things were really hot as far as the COVID-19.
Do you want to come and say that in the microphone, Stacy?
No,
okay.
I'll speak real loudly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
the chicken fly rule. Yeah. Right. Well, I see it as the same thing as Jesus being on the pinnacle of the temple. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself down. I'm covered by the blood. I can jump off this temple. To me, it's the exact same thing of not taking precautions that we know to take.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good illustration. Thanks. Y'all might not could hear Paula's story, but it was a good one. And she was talking about being cautious and having faith with caution. So God bless y'all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Until then, God bless.